1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
And we are back. Always good to see this next gentleman. A little bit of controversy floating around as well. Part of a spotlight segment on Long Island this morning. Haven't seen, actually saw a little bit over at the Stereo Garden in Patchogue during the election. Little victory dance on the stage at around 11:07 or so. Always great to see him, Mr. Neil Foley, fine councilman at the town of Brookhaven. Sir, always good to see you.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning, and I appreciate it. We had a
heck of a night, huh?
Very nice night on November 7th, and we're a great team, and we're proud of our record, and looking forward to the next 2 years.
Awesome. You know, I was telling Neil this before. I'll state the case, because Brookhaven runs like a fine-tuned Porsche, and what I mean by that is, you know, you look at some of these other towns and the council members and the bickering and, you know, the margins of meetings and what flies and what doesn't. You never hear a peep from the town of Brookhaven. You don't hear from Foley. Foley does his job. So does Laval. So does Lagercio. So does Cartwright. So does Bonner. Am I missing anyone?
And Mr. Panico.
I'm dead. You know, for some reason, I always leave Panico out. No wonder he doesn't talk to me.
Oh, my God.
And led by the man himself in Ed Romaine. And the thing is that Brookhaven, this is what I mean, Brookhaven runs like a fine-tuned machine. You guys just, and I'm not saying that because you're here.
Right.
I'm saying it because it's true.
Listen, do we disagree sometimes? Absolutely. We just try to keep our business, our public business, you know, in-house, and then when we, you know, finally come to a solution, what we do is we come out as a team, and that's what it is. But, you know, listen, it's impossible to have six people always on the same page, but I would say this, a lot of times we are on the same page, and I think we also do get along very well, which is a big part of it, and listen, we work with Supervisor Ed Romaine, who is a pro's pro.
He's like the Joe Torre of supervisors.
He's the best.
Right? Am I right with that?
He's great.
He's kind of like a player's manager.
You know? For me, I'm like a perfect example. I didn't grow up in government.
Right.
This is my first foray into it. So for me, not to sit there and listen to the Dan Panicos or the other council people, and especially Supervisor Romaine, and listen to learn.
Yeah.
And it's an education beyond words. And you know, he really, listen, I will tell you, and this is not saying because I work with the man, nobody works harder than this gentleman. He goes 7 days a week. The emails are coming on Sunday, and he sets the bar high for us.
Interesting. Now, you made an interesting point a second ago, because you didn't have a lot of experience as far as, you know, the political landscape and everything else. You wanted to kind of get into this whole thing. Give us an idea. What did you do prior, and what made you go into really wanting to do some good for the town and the district that you
represent? So I'm in pharmaceutical sales the last 20 years. I still do that.
Which, by the way, is a heck of a job, because I know people in that area. They make a good buck. And really, it's a nice job. You know something? Way back in time, I actually tried to get into pharmaceuticals. Oh, way back.
Wow.
I could never break the ice. I didn't have the experience. They wouldn't look at me.
I got in many years ago. I started with Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine opened the door for me a little bit. And it was my, you know, I had to go in an interview and get the job. And then, you know, I was actually living in Queens, grew up in Queens, moved out here about almost 18 years ago. And settled down here, had four kids, and got involved in my community, in the Bayport, Blue Point community. Got involved in the party a little bit, and it just kind of was a flow for me. I just, during campaign season, I would help out Congressman Zeldin and the state senator guys and the local guys, too. And Judge Mazie now, he was the councilman.
Yeah, Tim Mazie, I remember.
Was in the Blue Point area, and he got a judgeship, and I was blessed to be asked. And we worked really hard the first year in 14. It was a special election, and then got in. And Absolutely. It's you know, they, I always say this line and everybody laughs, but it's true. No one sends you to counseling school. And
it's like on the job training.
Oh my God. Right? And listen, Brookhaven is a very different town. Yeah. It's not even a town. It's a 500,000 plus city, geographically bigger than Nassau County.
Right.
And it's the largest town in the state of New York geographically.
You're right.
Plus I have all of Fire Island in the 5th Council District. So that's a whole nother part of it. But after 3 years, you get to know what to do, what not to do. We're not perfect, but we try our hardest. And even with this situation, trying to find a good solution going forward.
And we'll get into that situation. But as you have gone on in this position, and I'm sure, you know, everybody kind of sees you in the area. Hey, Neil, you know, I'm lacking in this area, or we need that. Do you get a lot of requests now that you are a councilman for that area, stating what is needed in that district?
Yes.
Do they take advantage of it? Hey, I know Foley. No. You know what? The garbage thing, it's got to be changed.
Well, listen, we're the first line of government. Yeah. And truly, we're almost the most important line of government for most people. And it is true. And people are very respectful. And 9 out of 10 people are great. And that's the truth. And yes, listen, I'm blessed, and most of us are blessed, because a request will come into us for anything, a light, a pothole, some violations, and we can see the action and we can see the result, where most layers of government can't see the action or the result. It's too large. At the town level, we see all of our results, and it's really good. And I know this sounds very cliche to say, but it's the truth. We truly help a lot of people. And even on multiple issues. And once again, like I said, Brookhaven is so large. Every week there is a different level of an issue, from demolishing a house to a neighbor violation.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a full-time job, would you?
Oh, right? It's 7 days a week. I could be out every night. I mean, last night I had 2 events last night. One was a chamber.
It's almost like being the mayor of a town. I mean, that's how large an area you represent.
Oh.
And you know, as far as your jurisdiction and everything else, and what's needed, what's not, you know, that type of thing.
It is truly
a lot of decisions.
Right. It's amazing sometimes, and the scope of it is huge. But I think if you're organized and you have the great staff, it works for us, and it does. I'm blessed with a great staff too. There's 2 of us in the office. I'm usually out in the field, and it's going well. And I think, like I said, most of us, and all of us, I would say, really enjoy our job right now.
So, in essence, the situation that has come, I reached out to Neil a few days ago, and we'll elaborate a little bit, but in the situation, is it more in that pressure that is getting, you're getting maybe from the constituency, you know, the residents, as far as this rehab center in that particular area, where they don't really want it? And you know something? You can make the case, you know, maybe they're right. Now, you can make the other case, which I'll point out in a second, but just elaborate a little bit as far as a little bit of the controversy happening right now with St. Ursula's.
This is, I would say, huge. You know,
this is a big story.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, this is a situation where I would say, speaking for the Blue Point folks in the town of Brookhaven, and even the Bayport, because it's like one town almost in Islip too, is, listen, nobody is naive to say we don't have a drug problem in this county. In fact, it's an epidemic. And it's hit the Bayport Blue Point community a lot, too. We know people that have lost their sons and daughters, too. But the problem here is usually the value that most people have is their homes. And when you bring in something, it could be any business, a commercial business or any type of light industrial, that will affect people's property values, affect people's quality of life, they get very passionate. And I will tell you, the emails, hundreds of emails, there's a petition now, I think it's up to 1,500 people. There are signs all over the town. There is a truck sign going out today. We have town board tonight. I know dozens of people coming out to voice their opinion, which is the opposite. They don't want Seafield coming in.
Right.
I've also got the other side, too. Listen, it's heartbreaking to hear some of these stories. And I have 4 children. I'm not naive. Listen, we need more beds in this county. I just think the problem here is zoning, and I think it's location. And the supervisor and I both talked to Seafield and said, listen, we'll find you a different location. It just, we don't feel this is the proper location.
So, in essence, how close is this location to the residential area itself? Is it right there?
It's in the heart of it.
In the heart of it. Okay.
It's, you have residential homes in front, behind, on the side. There's actually a house for sale now that I heard yesterday that had two real legitimate offers on it.
Yeah.
And both of those offers have been pulled. And, you know, that's a very difficult situation for people. And that's my job. And it's not easy. We were saying this is a tough situation.
It is.
And but my job is to represent the constituents. And I truly believe this is not the right area for Seafield.
So I guess the big question here is, does it come down to a zoning variance? I mean, is Brookhaven saved by the fact that there is something in place where it will not allow this center to be constructed? Or if you listen to Seafield, they'll say, you know what, we don't need the old ZV. We can kind of go ahead with it. We've got the contract in place and everything else to get this done. Which side do we believe here?
Well, our side is it's zoned A1 residential. Our side is, and I've spoken to our town attorney and multiple lawyers at the town, they've assured me and they're very confident saying that Seafield absolutely needs a zone change. They need a zone change too. It's called NHH. And I think Seafield has signed a contract, but I think it's subject to the zone change. So I think that's where we are now. I can't speak for Seafield. I think they've made some mistakes.
Now, they'll be present there tonight, though, no? We'll
see. I don't know.
I thought I read John Haley.
He might be. Yeah. He might be. I know there's a neighborhood meeting on November 7th at St. Ursula's. And then what happens at this point is, so in a normal situation, a entity would come in and ask us for a zone change. I've stated publicly, privately, and I think Supervisor Maine has also stated publicly and privately that I will not support the zone change. And then the ball flows back to Seafield. Listen, I just think it's just not the proper location. And their attorneys might say different. That's up to them, but I know where we stand, and we've done our research at the town.
No question, you know, and then, you know, you look at the other side of things. Okay, so we have a big-time problem here.
Big time.
We have to be able to have a facility here. We've got to be able to help people because, let's face it, this thing is out of control. If we do the old NIMBY over here, not in my backyard, well, where do we go? Do we go somewhere else and somebody else will fight us? I mean, that could be the other side of things based
Absolutely.
On the epidemic of opioid abuse and everything else going on here. People can state that case.
Oh, listen, I would absolutely agree with you. And it's not easy. Believe me, once again, the emails and they will break your heart. But and these are, you know, listen, this is the big boy decisions you have to make as an elected official. And I had to take a stance, and I'm stating once again that I will not change that zone change. But I will tell you, listen, I will absolutely work with Seafield. We're in communication with them. I personally think we have some great locations for them.
Why are they so in tune with this particular area? If you have other destinations of possibilities, why wouldn't they at least consider it? If it's not far from this particular area, where there's an area that could be constructed away from some of the residential stuff happening in there, why wouldn't they at least be of that mindset?
Well, I can't read their minds, and I'll let you know what I kind of know a little bit. I think the sisters are in financial dire straits. I think the building probably does fit their needs to a certain level, which works for them. I don't think they would have to do much work for the facility to really open and operate. They would have to increase the sanitary. And I don't know. I have no idea what this was sold for. I'm sure that they...
So the building's already... I mean, do we know the square footage involved?
I think it's about 33,000 square feet.
And I think I read it would hold about 76 beds, if I got that number.
Correct, right. Correct. And that's another part of the equation, too. 76 beds. Plus 50 plus employees going 24/7 a week, where now you have basically a dozen sisters living there with a couple employees.
And by the way, this is a facility that would be strictly for women. Am I right with that?
Correct. Okay. And listen, I mean, I understand Seafield is trying to, I don't want to say sell it, yeah. or maybe they are, but women or not, it's really not about that for us in the Blue Point community. It's more about the quality of life issues, the traffic that will come, just in general. It just, it's a very, very quiet community that if this would come, it truly would affect people's property values. And I just can't let that happen.
Now, listen, I mean, I could certainly understand that. You also have a lot of kids in the area. It's a very sensitive subject. Parents will have to do their due diligence if this thing does come to fruition. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of give and take here. I kind of sense property values are the key here because, let's face it, you know, Brookhaven deals a lot with the zombie houses. We know that Ed does a tremendous job in mm-hmm. that. And we know that that is certainly a detriment as far as prop values are concerned in other areas. But this, you can certainly make the case. This would be, you know, a killer as far as that is concerned.
Specific example yesterday. A beautiful home that was renovated right on Middle Road. Had two legitimate offers, and they've been pulled. Just on technically some press that was released in Newsday. People are very, very worried. And I know people are trying to pigeonhole the Bayport Blue Point community as we're not sensitive to it or this is NIMBY. It really has nothing to do with that. And it's more of just honestly the location and the zoning there.
Right.
And listen, we have great locations. We have Brookhaven has, they just bought John J. Foley Nursing Home, which I think would be a wonderful location there. We have other locations, old Tudor times. But
are the buildings actually up, though, in these other locations? Does more construction have to be needed, that type of thing?
The examples that we would show Seafield, yes, the building would be up.
So, essence, the time frame equates to what would be if they were to move in to this particular area that you're fighting against. The time frame would still be kind of the same in other areas?
I would say it would pretty much be on par. I mean, each individual property has their different issues. But, right, we're not looking for 2 or 3 years out. We're looking sometime in 18 for them to open and operate more beds. And from what I hear, they do operate a very great rehabilitation center. And once again, that's not even people want to turn us into that issue. It's more of I think we all agree that we need more. Listen, Suffolk County, I think last year, sadly enough, led New York State in overdoses.
They did.
And just that term alone scares all of us. So, but once again, this is, in our opinion down there and at the town and our town attorneys, it's not that issue. It's more of a zoning issue.
Interesting. Is this kind of the and you've been at this a couple of terms now, but is this kind of the first real hard controversial deal that you're dealing with in this particular district?
This is number two.
Number two. What was number one?
Number one, I was elected in a special election. So 9 days later, I'm on the dais, and this was the casino coming into Medford.
Gotcha.
And we had dozens of people. And once again, in many ways, this was going to affect Medford and their quality of life.
You know, you're in a tough spot, and I'll tell you. My belief, and I was thinking of this last night knowing you were coming on, because you represent a constituency here. I mean, the bottom line is you represent the residents of this district.
Absolutely.
And your job is to kind of act as counsel, meaning almost like an attorney representing the residents in a court of law, so to speak. And it's interesting because, you know, it's like I kind of always correlate stuff maybe with sports stuff. You know, I look at the commissioner of the NFL
right.
with Roger Goodell. He represents ownership. Bottom line, he has to protect the shield, the NFL logo, no matter what. He protects it with his life. And you could disagree so many things with what Roger Goodell does.
Right.
Discipline and everything else. We don't have to go over the cases. But his allegiance is to ownership. They pay him a hefty number. And you're, in essence, you're not making $50 million a year, as Roger Goodell is, but you still represent a constituency that you are responsible for in keeping them somewhat happy.
You bring up a great point. So we have meetings all the time. We deal with developers. We deal with different people that want to bring in different entities into the town of Brookhaven. And what we usually do is, and what we always do is we recommend the developers or people wanting to move these projects, you have to talk to the community. You have to talk to the civics. It's not my job to sell this project. It's your job. My job is to listen to my constituents. So we don't get swayed that way. And that's where I think with this situation, Seafield is I think they've made a lot of mistakes. Yeah. We've spoke to them about their mistakes. I think they've admitted some of them. And, you know, now you have people that are so angry because of some rumors or some threats. But no, you're right. Absolutely. My job is to represent. I mean, each council district, give or take the district, you're talking about 80 or 90,000 people. And it, the, geographically, they're so large. So my, once again, Medford was, is very north, south of LAE. And now I'm dealing with Blue Point, which is basically the southern, western part of the town of Brookhaven. But no, I would say absolutely. My job is to represent the constituents. And once again, the constituents are speaking between the emails. We want to hear their voices.
Yeah.
And once again, I think there's a petition right now of 1,500 signatures opposing this potential project.
Yeah, well, listen, the people are speaking, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
We're going to keep on top of this. You'll keep us posted.
Absolutely.
All throughout. So great to see you, as always.
Thank you, Jay. And you've always been a friend, and we appreciate it, and we love your show.
I appreciate that. Neil Foley, ladies and gentlemen.